This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Dance is a uniquely dynamic form of cultural expression. Its coordinated movement of bodies can produce a collective energy that's hard to describe, yet undeniably felt. Even listening to music that accompanies such dance elicits some of that energy. Watching a performance that goes with traditional music, even on a screen, conveys thrill, but experiencing it in person and in community has its own power. This Saturday, August 1st, St. Louis's Canaan Wellspring Palestinian Dance Troupe returns to the stage for its annual Dabka performance. And this year, the concert is raising both awareness and funds for Autism Superhero Palestine, a nonprofit supporting autistic children and their families in the West Bank. Here to talk with us about these efforts is Hanan Hamed. She is the coach of a Canaan Wellspring dance troupe. She's also the founder of Autism Superhero Palestine. Hanan, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you so much for having us.
And Sarah Zakarne is also with us. Sarah is a Canaan Wellspring dance troupe member. Sarah, hello and welcome to you.
Thank you.
So I'd like to start with kind of the basics. Hanan, tell me about this group. How did it get started?
So we started Canaan Wellspring 2 years ago to perform at the Festival of Nations. And we wanted to teach our youth our Palestinian culture and heritage through dance and music, and somehow present Palestinian culture and identity here in St. Louis, because we feel representation is very important. And 2 years ago, we felt like there was so much dehumanization going on towards Palestinians and misrepresentation, and we wanted people to understand Palestinians from Palestinians. And this is why we thought the easiest way is to open a conversation with Palestinians is through dance and music.
How did people get to that before the formation of Canaan Wellspring?
We just decided that, okay, we're seeing so much false information about Palestinian people. And we thought we came together as a community, as Palestinian mothers, mostly. And I'm going to be honest, shout out to Palestinian moms here in St. Louis. They work together so we can form our Dabka troupe and represent our culture beautifully and proudly.
Sarah, how long have you been involved?
I've been involved since the very first practice.
Very first one. Where did it happen?
It happened in the basement of the Turkish American Society. And that was our first practice. And then we started expanding our practice.
Yeah, we had so many people like volunteer their spaces. We had clubhouses, for example. And then we had the church in St. Charles, first the Methodist church.
Yes. Yeah.
And now this is where we actually practice. They're amazing people and they offered us a space for free. Yes.
In the spaces where you have gotten together, I almost use a Korean word here. How has the ambiance been? What does it feel like to be together, even just before there's any music or any practicing? Have you experienced that, Sarah?
That's a great question. As being part of Dabka and being a dancer with other Palestinian children and youth like me who want to learn more about their culture and come to dance, it just feels like a second family, a second home. When I come in, everyone greets me. The girls are so friendly, so nice, and I just feel right at home right before practice starts.
So, Dabka, what is it, and how do you describe it? I'm going to ask you, Sarah, first.
Okay. Yeah. I would love to hear it from Sarah, actually.
So, Dabka is a traditional folklore dance, traditional in the Levant, but Palestinians have their own unique style of Depka, and it tells stories about our people, our homeland, the stories that we have, love, loss, and just traditional dance through music and stomps.
So Depka, it's actually stomping, and it started way thousands of years ago with the Canaanites, where they were stomping on rooftops so they can, keep it like fit, like what is it called,
like
steady,
yeah.
And it was also like originated from a dance for a rain prayer, so mm-hmm. it was like kind of a ritual, and then we inherited that those steps, and it turned into like a community dance, and you can't dance Depka alone, you need a community, which is this is where the sense of community comes in, and now we have different styles, different music, and now it's spread all over the Levant. So it's in Palestine, Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon.
The music that we heard in the introduction, what were we hearing?
You are hearing a love story between a man from Jordan and a girl from Palestine, mm-hmm. where they fell in love during the British Mandate, and that love was actually forbidden love, which means that he came from some kind of like, he was from the desert and she was from palaces in Akka. And their parents weren't agreeing on that marriage, and they had to flee together to Ajlon and Jordan. Mm-hmm. So basically, this is what the dance is about, and about fighting for love.
What kinds of conversations do these dances, these performances, elicit among those who, you know, come to see it? Are there certain questions that you have received, Sarah?
That's a great question. I haven't, like, received questions. I've been asked why I do Depka and what Depka is, and I usually tell them the surface level. It's a folklore dance, and it's traditional amongst Palestinians and Middle Easterns.
I did receive questions like, do you guys sing about violence? So this is one of the questions that, and many people have misunderstanding that our songs just emerged recently with the recent conflict, but these songs trace back like hundreds of years, and they talk about different topics like love, family, community, even olive harvest, weddings, so many different topics, yes.
Mm-hmm. How does that preserve Palestinian culture?
Of course, whenever we teach our youth and our Palestinian children here in the diaspora, the Depka dance, the Palestinian Depka dance, which also you can't dance it without wearing the Palestinian thob, which is the dress, the traditional dress for both men and women. So whenever you learn these things as a Palestinian child, you preserve part of your identity and you keep it with you. You pass it down to your children in the future.
Mm-hmm. Before the formation of Canaan Wellspring, this dance troupe, Sarah, how did you understand certain elements of your Palestinian ancestry and the culture?
Yeah, before joining Canaan Wellspring, I understood that I was Palestinian, but on a surface level, I didn't really know what it meant to really be Palestinian. I knew the story of like my grandparents and how they came to America, but that was about it. I grew up in an American society. I followed American values, and before joining Canaan Wellspring and before hearing about it, I wasn't too familiar with the culture, with the elements besides like food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and was that common, or is that common among your fellow troop members?
It's hard to say. Some troop members have more experience. Some of them have lived overseas, while others have no interaction with Palestine. Like I've never been to Palestine before.
I'm honestly, from experience and what I saw, even some of the mothers of the dancers did not know the stories behind our music. Mm-hmm. So probably they just know general, like, we dance Depka, we eat this food, we dress like that. But they didn't understand the information, the story behind each music and each dance and how it originated and how it started. Mm-hmm. They didn't even know, for example, that Depka was inscribed by the UNESCO as an intangible cultural heritage of humanity. Same thing with Tatriz, which is in Palestinian embroidery. So many information they did not know about. And Canaan Wellspring did help, like, educate them in that matter, which is important, to be honest. Yes.
How do you go about teaching that? You know, are there, is there sort of a basic curriculum that you have come up with?
No, actually, so with every show, since we have music that we dance, we have 14 dances. And these 14 dances, I want every child and every girl to, especially because we have a lot of girls, and we are a troop of many, many girls are there, more than boys, actually. Mm-hmm. So I want them to understand what is the dance, what it means, and what is the story behind it, because it's really important. If you're representing a culture and a dance, I need you to be able to answer questions and understand what is the root of each dance.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Is there a test?
No,
nothing
really.
Like
they
that.
Enjoy it, so they don't need a test.
Sure.
We're talking with Hanan Hamid. She's a coach of Canaan Wellspring Dance Troupe, as well as with Sarah Zakarne, who's a member of that troupe. I want to talk about what this performance is going to be supporting, the one that's happening this weekend. And in addition to being a coach for Canaan Wellspring, you are also the founder of Autism Superhero,
yes,
Palestine. Tell us about this organization. What is its goal?
So Autism Superhero Palestine is a nonprofit organization, 501c3. We operate in the West Bank. We used to operate in Gaza, but we lost most of the families in Gaza that we used to work with, unfortunately. So I am a mother of an autistic child, and I experienced living with an autistic child in Palestine. And I kind of like, this is an experience from firsthand, so I understand what families are going through in the West Bank. We are talking about families that are not able to receive therapy services. If there is any therapy services, they have to go to Jerusalem. Many people in the West Bank are not, actually most of them, are not allowed to go to Jerusalem. We also have problems like checkpoints where kids, autistic kids, have to wait for hours to get home, strip searched. So many things that are not autistic children, even someone who is not autistic, is not comfortable with. But it's so hard to explain to someone as vulnerable as an autistic child. Mm-hmm. So many IDF raids, settlers, attacks, these things prevent a Palestinian child from having a safe, secure, like routine life that a child with autism needs. So what I do is I provide services to families, especially the spaces where they feel safe. We're going to support a project where we will get families to join together in support groups where they can exchange experiences. They can do whatever they like do art, music. It's just the safe space where they can relieve their stress and heal.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's just for 2 hours. It's very important. So this is one of the programs that we offer. Another thing we do training programs for moms in terms of communication and how to communicate with their child, how to help the child communicate their needs through PECS programs, which is exchanging photos and then creating sentences in the future if they're able to. We have field trips that we have. We have summer camps. We have so many services that are very important to an autistic child and living in Palestine.
Mm-hmm. In some cultures, and I'm saying this from some experience, there is stigma when it comes to autism.
Yes.
Is this also true among Palestinians?
And yes, definitely.
And yes. How is your organization either addressing that or, you know, working with families and those who don't have someone in their family who has autism to understand these challenges in a more meaningful way?
Yeah. I mean, we face some situations where families are afraid to say that their child is autistic just so they don't get criticized or judged or anything. I've experienced this even in America, like some families, not even Palestinians, some families just avoid that topic or mentioning the diagnosis of their child. But in Palestine, we are working on bringing awareness to families, to schools, to institutions, hospitals. We do have like programs for teachers and healthcare providers about autism, so we can work together to make the life of autistic families easier. And this is also one of our programs that we work on.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, what do you think of the goal, the fundraising goal for this particular performance and what Hanan has just described?
Yeah, I think it's a meaningful cause. I feel there's no better way than to educate other people about Palestine and putting our efforts into serving Palestinian children. And I think it just makes our goal more established.
Mm-hmm. Yes. This year's performance, and the fundraiser, what makes this so important at this particular time, Hanan?
It's definitely important right now because Palestinian children right now are facing difficult situations in the West Bank. We know that many Palestinian children are not going to school anymore. Autistic children specifically, even though we passed a law where they now are allowed to go to school with a one-to-one teacher, but they're not able to because of the closures, the settler attacks where moms are terrified to send their kids to schools. We have also IDF raids and refugee camps and villages. All of that is preventing many children from going to school or receiving therapy services or even having a safe routine life.
And so the funds that you raise will go directly to families?
Yes. It won't go towards the programs. So the families keep requesting this one program that we created last year. And that program is we go to cities, villages, and refugee camps, and we create this family support group where families join together and they exchange experiences. They speak about their difficulties and how to solve them. We bring a therapist to work with them. And it's just also a space where children with autism can also do music, art, and all forms of activities that they would love to do. Yeah.
What are some of the things that families have shared with you about the impact of your organization?
I mean, every time we do any of the programs or the activities or the field trips, they always request for more and they want more of it. But I mean, we're a small organization, mm-hmm. and we are only able to serve like at a limited level. At the West Bank, there's no specific, statistic on the number of kids with autism. So we're not aware of how much we need to be able to serve them. But the review and the feedback is always positive. Mm-hmm. And they always have a good and great and positive experience. And they wish we have like more nonprofits that work with Uncover, most of the families in the West Bank, like mine. But I'm not able to do that, to mm-hmm. be honest, at a big scale.
Are you aware of any other organizations that are based in the United States that are doing something similar to what you're doing?
No. Mm-hmm. I'm the only one. I'm the only autism nonprofit organization that works with autistic children directly in Palestine. There's no other nonprofit here.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we do need nonprofits that work with autistic children.
How much surprise do people greet you with when they hear about the work that you're doing?
Oh, they're always surprised. Like, they're like, really, you do that? You do all of that? You do Canine Wellspring and you also do even the My Dubka troop. We're like, no way, you actually do all of that? We didn't know that. But I mean, it's very important to have a goal in life and work towards it. And I think my son did inspire me to do that. And I'm very grateful for the experiences and for the impact he have on my life.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things I think it is important to acknowledge is that Canaan Wellspring, that it has faced some obstacles in the past. And you we're headed toward a second show at the St. Louis Art Fair in 2024, when leaders there, they said that your group could not perform at the annual event in part because art fair organizers feared that the dancers, like you, Sarah, and others, would somehow make political statements and with the songs and with the dancing. When you heard that, Sarah, what came to mind for you? You know, were there conversations that you were having with your peers, with the student dancers?
Yeah, we were really upset. We were confused because our goal isn't to share politics. Our goal is to educate others about Palestine through art and storytelling and dance. And that was what we thought the art fair's purpose was too. And so when we heard that we were canceled because of our culture, we were just confused why. And that's not what diversity is about at all.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we performed before at Festival of Nations, mm-hmm. and I feel like this comment is that they gave is inaccurate. I feel it was like more a cancellation of the Palestinian identity more than just a fear of political statement or any of that. I don't see it that this is true. However, dance and art can be political, and it's totally fine with that. And I don't see anything wrong with being political. At the end, a Palestinian cause is not a humanitarian cause. It wasn't caused by, let's say, famine or earthquake or none of that, but it was actually caused by politics in general. So there's nothing wrong to be political. Mm-hmm. from it. But we are not presenting politics. We were presenting our dance, mm-hmm. simply our culture. And I feel like we were just canceled just for being Palestinian, and to frame it as political is just a way to erase us.
So to provide some understanding of what you all will be doing, Jafra is the name of the performance. What does Jafra, you know, what does it go into, you know, with the songs, the lyrics, the dancing?
So Jafra is a story of a girl who is, Jafra is the name of a Palestinian genre song, and it was named behind, like after a girl, mm-hmm. yeah, a little girl. And she has a story that she's going to tell us during the show, but it also, there's so many other songs that we will be explaining the story behind them, and we will be presenting so many different Palestinian Debke dances, the different styles. We also are presenting not only Palestinian culture, but at the end we will be showcasing that we are part of a bigger fabric, which is called Bilad al-Sham, or the Levant, which is Syria, Jordan, Lebanon. We are part of that fabric, but we were separated from that fabric, and we would love to reunite ourselves through dance and culture.
Mm-hmm. You had a performance earlier this year. It was in January. After having experienced that, what are you looking forward to, Sarah,
for this one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the audience after the show. I remember in January, after we finished the show, I just saw audience in tears. They had emotions, all of the above. And I was just really, I was so glad that our culture and our dance hit those people's hearts. And I want to touch the hearts of more people, and I want to unite the St. Louis community mm-hmm. through Jafra.
What do you hope audiences take away from this performance, Anna?
To be honest, there's just one thing. I want them to take away that we are human beings. That's it. Mm-hmm. We dance. We love life. We have music. We have stories. We have a history. We are proud of who we are. And I also, one of the other things I want is that people understand that as a Palestinian culture, it would be great to represent it as Palestinian culture and stand against any culture appropriation of our own. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hanan Hamed is Canaan Wellspring Dance Troupe's coach and founder of Autism Superhero Palestine. And Sarah Zakarne is a member of Canaan Wellspring Dance Troupe. Sarah and Hanan, thank you so much for joining
us
today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Lila Halal-Bashich.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Doerr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.